quick timeout. Back and continue right after this.
From Galesburg to Panama City, Indianapolis to Ironwood, it's America's Anchorman, Rush, on the EIB Network.
Well, there you go. From Dave Ramsey yesterday, commenting about Rush Limbaugh, the impact he had on his own career and the impact on radio especially. Good morning. It is 820 Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gumb, Nick Hischer, joined by our general manager, Roger Lundeen. And Roger, we knew the day was coming. It's, you know, we'd been since, actually a little more than a year. He lasted a lot longer than any of us thought he would, and the doctors, any longer than the doctors thought he would, because when he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and they didn't give him very long, and he made it and was, I was trying to think, we were talking about this earlier, what was the last day he was actually on the air doing the show? Was it early last week?
I believe it was February 2nd, which is a couple weeks ago. Okay. And we had been wondering, you know, he'd been gone more than he'd been on the last month or so, and we kind of were a little concerned that things were getting pretty close, but, you know, they kept that pretty quiet. Rush was occasionally spoke on the air about his situation pretty passionately, but then he avoided, you know, much discussion of that because that's what Rush did.
Yeah, on his, like Dave Ramsey said, the guy, he was an introvert anyway, away from it. He was playing a character. He was an entertainer. He's made that clear time and time again on his show. And one of the things I mentioned earlier, one of the things he said time and time again, what his style, showing absurdity by being absurd. And that's exactly what it was.
Well, you know, I had the opportunity to meet Rush a couple of times. And the second time I actually talked to him a couple, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, it was right before Obama was elected, just a couple of weeks before his first election in, 2008. It was Rush's 20th anniversary.
Yeah, probably 20th, yeah.
There was a gathering of some of his friends and affiliates down in Austin. And he had this definite passion for radio and passion for entertainment. And he was quiet, like Dave Ramsey said. It was cocktail party environment, a little bit hard to communicate because, you know, Rush had the collinear implant from his hearing situation with the early 2000s, and so in a crowded kind of loud room it was a little bit tough, but he always expressed, the couple of times and I'd seen him speak at a couple of industry events, he always expressed the loyalty to radio, but that was actually the loyalty to his upbringing, because anybody who ever really tried to compete with Rush turned into, they usually came from politics or celebrity status, and they became lecturers. And Rush was a radio communicator. I mean, he was a DJ in high school kind of thing. And when you talk about him or Glenn Beck, who started the same way, actually Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins all started the same way. They're radio people at heart, and they understand this one-on-one connection. They understand the entertainment part of it. They understand the attention spans that radio has in a spoken word environment. That's different than television. It's different than acting. It's different than most politicians' platforms. And Rush really took advantage of that. I mean, he was able to grow that thing initially with satire and humor and whatever, which a whole lot of people didn't get. But he was able to take that and grow it. And I think, you know, towards the end, you know, he got extremely political, but his claim to fame really in the first 5 or 10 years was, yeah, he's going to be controversial. And that's how, you know, that's what talk radio is sometimes. If you don't agree with somebody's opinion, I guess if you get into talk radio, you know you're gonna divide the audience. And I actually wrote down what I thought was a good quote. Okay, so John Raymond, who was a former general manager here and program director, when the station brought Rush on the air back in 1991 under previous ownership, he commented yesterday on a Facebook post I had. And of course, John loved controversy. He loved to instigate controversy. But I wrote this down. He said, I learned a long time ago to be popular and unpopular simultaneously is a formula hard to compete with.
Absolutely.
That was Rush. You loved him or hated him. A lot of people that hated him listened to him anyway. And as you, I think I heard you say earlier today, many that hated him never really heard what he said, and they heard the five-second sound bites. And boy, in today's world, we've all seen that the five-second sound bites without the background story. I think I learned that from listening to Steve Dahl when I was in college. If you didn't listen to him for a week, you didn't understand what he was really saying, and if you tuned in for 10 minutes, you didn't get it.
Yeah, and that's something Rush would always say as well. But, you know, you did mention that he did change a little bit over the years and obviously got more and more political, but one of the things I did miss, the things he did, for some of the satire mentioned, Spatula City. What great commercials those were.
Yeah.
And people would go, where is that place? Is there really a Spatula City?
And, you know, he was the first real daytime syndicated radio personality. And the first to really do politics is kind of his shtick. And, you know, all the other syndicated shows, Larry King, et cetera, they were all, you know, pretty non-polarizing, I would say. You know, Larry talked to authors and celebrities and lots of guests. And last night, Michael Harrison, who runs Talkers Magazine, was on with Jim Bohannon. And they were talking about, you know, Larry would have guests on for 5 hours some nights in the early days. And it's like, can you imagine doing that in today's world with attention spans? I mean, Rush figured out that, you know, you have to say some pretty crazy things. And he was able to do it in a monologue, primarily environment, which is tough. I mean, it's really, I mean, very few people can keep somebody's attention in a monologue. I mean, Rush had a rare guest, and he had, you know, some callers. But
and it would be the president or something. Yeah, if it was a guest, it was somebody very high up in government.
Exactly. And he treated the callers like they were the guests. I mean, I always remember, you know, back in the day, Larry King was so rude to callers because they were just callers. But Rush treated his callers like they were part of the show. He wanted them to be part of the show. And that made it so much difference. On a local level, which is really kind of what we are interested in, he really did save a lot of radio stations. And that's been talked about in the industry. And maybe somebody else might have come along and done something like that. But as music was transitioning to FM, AM stations were struggling and, you know, couldn't afford to do local news or local high school sports or whatever. And to be able to, you know, fairly inexpensively put on a national show on their station that people loved. And I mean, he ended up with 20 million listeners. It was not necessarily a cash cow for all local radio stations, but it really helped. It helped keep them going, and it helped, you know, in our case, and in many cases, it helped the local advertisers get their messages heard. And so, I mean, that was a big thing, and he recognized that. He always spoke highly of the affiliates, of the people that got him where he ended up being. He was always negative on the whole, you know, going to satellite radio thing, which, you know, when you're controversial, that was an easy out. You know, that's what Howard Stern did. I'm tired of fighting with the FCC. I'm going to go to satellite radio. Dr. Laura did that. I'm tired of advertiser boycotts because people didn't hear what I said right. Or I spend more time explaining myself than I do doing my show. So she went to satellite radio. You don't hear that kind of stuff anymore. It's like, well, they're in a safe place where they get to control all the shots and they don't have big companies and advertisers kind of behind them.
Well, and there were situations with Rush's show that said, well, we're going to give in to the pressure. We're going to boycott. And like, then they found out like, uh-oh, we're losing business. How can we get back? Can we get back with you, Rush?
Yeah, there were several of those people that on the national level that decided to boycott and then change their mind. But, you know, that was kind of, there was a few times in the Rush era that there were many groups, organizations, or even, you know, advertising agencies that said, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with Rush. We're going to, you know, protest, boycott, whatever, which, you know, never really worked. But there are other organizations. I mean, it's no surprise that political advertising revenue was phenomenally high on stations that carried Rush. And, you know, in our case as well, many agencies and politicians were like, on both sides too, not just conservative.
Yeah.
We'd get the liberals and conservatives both going, man, you have Rush on, I want to be on there. I got to get on there. And because talk radio is less passive of a media. It's very interactive. You can put background music on all day long, and hopefully your ads will be heard. But on talk stations, they really get heard. People listen throughout the day. They don't tune out. They're hearing the messages. They're listening for news. In our situation, we appreciate the fact that we think we have, I mean, obviously it's a conservative talk station, so we have a lot of conservative leaning shows, but it's a wide variety of shows. It's not lecturing. It's interactive. We're happy with things like Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins, who have come up with a whole different approach to kind of communicate pretty similar message of what Rush is doing, but they're doing it in a whole different way. And that's pretty innovative. And harder to find.
A different form of entertainment.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's entertainment, different way of presenting
and,
it though.
And
yeah.
Those guys have no political background. They're just guys. I mean, they're following stuff now, but they're just guys. Mostly from Central Illinois.
Right.
Grew up and went to Central Illinois high schools.
Whether it was Knoxville or Princeton, whatever the case may be.
I think Robbins went to Roanoke, I think.
Was that Roanoke?
Pretty
Benson.
Sure.
Yeah.
Roanoke. But, he's been in Peoria, Bloomington area his whole life. But so they've got the entertainment thing figured out, too. We don't know what's next. iHeart Media, which owns the Limbaugh show, has been pretty quiet. And they haven't really said. There's been a couple of ideas about what they may do. Nobody's really ever going to replace Rush. It's more about who can take that time slot and keep it strong, and which might mean moving one of their other personalities into that slot, which, iHeart's stronger personalities after Rush would have been Sean Hannity, who was on after Rush on their network. And probably unlikely that they'll mess with that because it's pretty successful in most markets. They have Buck Sexton on later in the day, who used to fill in for Rush once in a while, and Glenn Beck prior to Rush. So I don't know if they'll move any of those around because they're pretty successful. I think the iHeart's competitors are looking at that closely too, about who they can position that some stations may want to transition into the next round. At the moment, they've told us that they're going to be doing Rush tributes for the next couple of weeks and make an announcement on, what comes next. And we've been holding off, obviously, for the last year on making some commitments. We're running Dave Ramsey twice a day, a lot of it's sports preemptions, but kind of on hold, waiting to see if we're going to make a permanent move with Ramsey's show or any of the other shows on the radio station, knowing, for the last year that there was a chance that there would be a highly sought-after time slot available.
Yeah.
And it kind of depends on what all the networks kind of work out.
Yeah, and there's
we can make our own decision after.
Yeah, and there's other syndicated shows not under the iHeart label that they kept them away from that time slot.
Yeah.
And now maybe one of those will move into that time slot or whatever.
Yeah, and it's big company radio stuff, which, we're not. But, since iHeart owns a lot of big talk stations, I'm sure they're trying to position themselves in certain markets. They also have, like in Chicago, Rush is on a competing station to iHeart. And some of that might make it a factor on what they do and are they opening themselves up to new competition or whatever. So I'd hate to be the people that having to make that decision because no matter what you do, it's probably not going to be right everywhere. But we've been hesitant to agree to anything long term on any of our programming for now. But I think a lot of us are here in the business thanks to Rush, like it or not. He led conservative talk radio and paved the way for a lot of competitors. He competing stations, that when he attracted an audience back to AM radio, there were other radio AM stations to say, hey, this talk thing's working. Let's do it too. And so, I don't know how many, conservative or even liberal talk shows would exist in today's world, probably somewhat, because everything evolves, but Rush just kind of got there before anybody else.
Yeah. And nobody's like him, and nobody will be, I don't think.
No, yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. We don't know what's next. We know that he's a radio guy, and most of the people on our radio station are radio guys.
Yeah,
they're the ones that have been the most successful. I don't even remember if Sean Hannity was a radio guy, but he's really turned into a lecturer.
Yeah.
And we've tried to avoid that here. I mean, we're going to have some conservative shows. We're going to have some self-help kind of shows like a Ramsey or Clark Howard or back in the day of Bruce Williams or Dr. Laura. We don't want to be politics all day, every day. We know that local news is our number one thing, and we want to have some good entertainment on amongst the local news and local sports. We try to avoid the lecturing kind of in your face stuff. So we'll see what's next.
All right. Yep. Like I said, waiting on all the corporate to see what they do, and then we'll make a decision locally. Roger, thanks so much for taking some time, and great.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody who's shown their support.
Yeah.
And of encouragement, and thanks for, thanked us for having Rush on as long as we have. We'll see what happens.
Yep. He'll be missed. That's for sure.
Yep.
That's for sure. Roger, thank you. It is.
Thank you.